Cape Talk.
Call 021 446 0567.
Time for Legal Talk, and a pleasure to welcome back in studio today specialist rental property attorney Marlon Chevalier, who is director of Marlon Chevalier and Associates Incorporated, and specifically with us to look at tenant landlord issues for residential rentals. He does cover a whole lot of other fields of law as well, but for today's purposes, please do keep it focused on the residential rental space. And also just a reminder that obviously the advice Marlon shares with us is intended as general legal guidance. Every single individual case has its own quirks and merits and needs to be looked at individually. So we cannot solve all of your problems live on air, but we'll do our best to speak to the general merits thereof, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. If you want to ask a question, the number to dial is 021-446-0567. You're also welcome to send it by a voice note or text WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. Welcome back, Marlon.
Thanks, Pippa. Always wonderful.
Before we take any questions, you want to flag an issue around handling a tenant who is late in paying the rent, and that kind of breach of contract creates some quite tricky scenarios, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's a wonderful topic, and it's something that's continually plagued us since the Consumer Protection Act came about. And that is, before the Consumer Protection Act, there was an opportunity for a landlord to cancel a lease agreement if a tenant didn't pay their rental on time, of course.
Yeah.
And go so far as to say that if a tenant continually breached their agreement, there would be a right to terminate without even giving notice, saying, you know what, you haven't paid, we're cancelling your lease agreement. The Consumer Protection Act brought in a brand new clause, and it's only applicable in fixed term leases and when you're dealing with a natural person tenant. Okay. So if you're leasing your property for a year to Joe Bloggs, this is when it applies. And it basically says you can only cancel that lease if you have given them 20 business days and they don't pay. They don't remedy their breach within those 20 business days. So by implication, if you decide to cancel because there's a clause in your lease that says if the tenant breaches the lease agreement three times in a 12-month period, not an uncommon clause,
yep.
That clause still exists in non-CPA leases and in commercial leases. If you choose to rely on that clause, you basically are potentially breaching the Consumer Protection Act.
Sure.
So what it basically means is, as things stand literally, because it's legislation, I as a tenant can pay late every single month. So if I'm supposed to pay on the 1st of April, I can pay effectively on the 19th of April, and you can't cancel my lease if I've paid before the 20th business day. But those clauses still appear in CPA leases across the board, and there is no definitive law on it. So some people are saying, yeah, but I've contracted with the landlord, they've agreed to those terms. But the Consumer Protection Act says you can't contract out of the Consumer Protection Act.
It's the same as the Basic Conditions of Employment Act for an employer. It doesn't matter if your company policy says we only give 10 days of leave a year. If the CPA says an employee is entitled to paid leave after so many days of work, you cannot contract out of that. The Basic Conditions of Employment Act always trumps whatever you wrote in your individual contract. So what you're saying is what stands in the CPA would override what stands in your lease agreement, even if your lease specified that you could take action after the second month of late payment.
Correct. And the problem is that people want that clause in there, because I understand why they would, because a tenant might just leave if you've got that clause in there. But similarly, was it the intention of the legislator to create a situation whereby a tenant can effectively breach every single month of the lease agreement, compromise the landlord and his ability to pay his bond on time just because of that situation? Look, we never wanted the Act to apply to the rental housing industry. We made representations, they weren't accepted. So it is interesting, and I think that the worst part is that if you do rely on that clause and you choose to cancel the lease because they pay late three times in a row, if that clause is incorrect and you have cancelled, the landlord is breaching the lease agreement. So you've got a tenant who hasn't paid, but you've got a landlord who's actually in breach for exercising his rights.
What a mess.
It is a mess. Completely.
Okay, so again, so if they are late paying, you're going to give them a formal written notice to saying, I'm putting you on notice, you are late with your rent, you've got 20 days to remedy the breach.
Business days, so it's
business
a month,
days.
That's a long time.
If they do remedy the breach, even if they pay it on day 20, which is by then probably a month overdue.
Correct.
You've got to take a step back and say thank you very much for the late payment.
You can't cancel.
Sure.
In fact, by that time, the next month's rental is probably due as well. Because don't forget, the demand for rental doesn't always go out on the 1st. You wait for payment on the 1st, you send an email on the 2nd, where's the payment? So by the time you send off that letter,
it's probably already a week at least delayed.
And by the time the 20 business days, excluding weekends, excluding public holidays, the next month is already due before you can potentially cancel on the preceding month.
Scary stuff. And I believe we've already got a voice note that has come through on this subject, particularly of dealing with a tenant who isn't paying the rent. And I'm not sure if it's not paying on time or not paying at all. 072-567-1567 is the number to dial if you want to send us a voice note. Sorry, we're just having some difficulty loading that voice note. We'll get to it in just a second. In the meantime, just a reminder, it's residential rental queries only. 021-446-0567 if you want to give us a call. Okay, something's gone wrong with that voice note, I'm afraid. It looks like we're having some difficulty on the voice note side. Apologies for that. I think the gist of the question was asking, how can you kick out a tenant that is just not paying at all?
Well, as you know, there is the PIE Act, of course. But I can tell you now, if you're going to lawfully deprive somebody of their right to housing, which is a Section 26 of the Constitution right, got to be a proper demand, got to be a proper cancellation and a formal eviction process. Any attempt to deprive somebody of their right to be in the property, even if they owe R1 million, and we know we've been through this for several years, you can be hit with a terrible cost order against you. So you've just got to do it right. It's incredibly frustrating, but the courts will say, listen, if you've got a property for speculative purposes, this is what it's about. You may find yourself in a situation where you can't get that tenant out. Yeah. And the thing about the Consumer Protection Act is you can cancel if there's a material breach. So if it's not a material breach, for example, the tenant says, hey, I've got three friends living with me, that might not be material. Even if you give a 20-year business day letter, in that respect, you can't cancel the lease because you can only cancel if it's material, if it goes to the heart of the agreement. A non-rental payment is pretty much right to the heart of the agreement. Yeah.
Scary stuff. Just apologies, we seem to be having an issue with our voice note system. If I can ask you please to keep your questions to either calling in on 021-446-0567 or texting us a written WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. We're having some difficulty getting the voice notes to physically play out and we flagged it with our IT team. But in the meantime, please rather type out the message or call in and relay it to us on air. Marlon, somebody asking how much is one advised or allowed to raise the rental per annum? Is there any fixed amount?
There's no fixed amount. Yeah. Absolutely not. In fact, the Rental Housing Act doesn't talk about that. The raised rental or the increase can be done in terms of the CPI or it's recorded in the lease agreement. And if it is included in the lease agreement, you're not bound to that. You can charge less than that if you want. If you want to charge more than what is in the lease agreement, then you need to do an addendum because it's got to reflect the intention of the parties. Oh. The only time I have an issue is if you choose to raise the rental to such a high degree which goes beyond what the market demand is, it could be construed to be sort of an unfair rental practice to get that tenant out.
Yes.
That's the only time I have an issue, and that can be challenged. If it's an exorbitant rental, which falls far off the standard rentals in that proximity.
Okay, so a court would actually look at that. So if every house in the neighbourhood is charging roughly 5,000 rand a month and your rental was 4.5 and you've put it up to 9, with no improvements in the property and no additional people moving in or anything like that.
But unless,
that
of course,
be viewed as,
it could be. It could be construed to be what we call interorum, which is a threat. Okay. Unless, of course, somebody does move in and pay that amount. Well, then it's a different story, of
course. You can find someone prepared to do it, then you've got a very strong argument to say it was called for. Okay, we take your questions on 021-446-0567. You can also email them through to me on pippah@capetalk.co.za. Question which speaks to, I think, an issue you've spoken to us before, but one we need to come back to again and again, the issue of what can and can't be done with deposits. Marlon, the person asking the question says, can I use my tenant's deposit to pay for an eviction process?
No, it wouldn't be really fair for a tenant to pay for their own eviction. That's the short answer. But the long and perhaps more logical answer is that the deposit belongs to the tenant, and the deposit is there as security for the landlord to remedy any breaches of rear rental, fair enough, or any damages to the property which appear after the outgoing inspection and which aren't fair wear and tear. But effectively, that deposit cannot be used to fund the cost of an eviction because, firstly, the landlord needs to pay his own attorney those costs. And any costs that can be sought against that tenant can't just be the legal fees paid because that's in terms of a mandate. Only costs that can be awarded by a court can be sought from the tenant if indeed there is a cost order. So you can't use the tenant's deposit. It's actually frowned upon. And there are clear stipulations as to what the deposit can be used for. Lost keys, damages, excluding fair wear and tear, but certainly not the legal fees for an eviction. Certainly not.
Marlon Chevalier is with us in the studio, and I believe we've got a caller on the line who wants to ask a question. 021-446-0567 is the number to dial. That's what Edwin has done. Good afternoon to you, Edwin.
Yes, good day. I'd just like to know, I've got a situation where the landlord has given the 3 months notice, which is in the lease. However, it's not giving any reason for us to vacate the property. And I've also noticed that he's advertising the same rental. So it's not an economic reason. We've been paying the rent every month, but it's just giving us 3 months notice. Must there be, and it's not giving us a reason.
Of course. Well, the first thing I need to mention to you is that, is the lease agreement a fixed term lease or is it a month to month lease? Because if it's a month to month lease, he can give you a month's notice and no reason whatsoever is necessary. If it's still a fixed term lease, which means the lease is still ongoing for a period of time, again, the landlord would not be able to give you notice unless there has been a breach that hasn't been remedied. If there is a clause in the lease agreement, again, it's a common clause that we see, which says, if I want to move back into the property or I want to sell the property, I'm allowed to give you notice. That in itself is arguable because of your gaat voor koop, if they want to sell and if they want to move back in, or they're summarily entitled to just cancel. So 3 months notice, it might be a long period of time, but it could totally fall foul of the Consumer Protection Act. But if it's month-to-month lease, absolutely fine. In fact, it's very generous in a month-to-month lease.
What kind of a lease do you have, Edwin?
No, it's not a month-to-month.
So if it's a fixed-term lease, which means...
A fixed-term.
It's an ongoing lease.
It's a one-year term lease.
And when was it meant to come to an end, Edwin?
Now in March.
Well, if it is in March this year, then effectively the lease is actually ending at the end of March, and you're saying he's given you 3 months notice. When did he
gave us 3 months last year, October, so we had to be out by February.
Okay, look, if the lease is a year, by law, in terms of Section 14 of the Consumer Protection Act, the landlord has to send a letter, not more than 80 and not less than 40 business days, where they give you an option to renew or, failing that, to actually tell you to leave. So it sounds like everything has been done correctly, unless, of course, he wanted you to leave a month earlier than the lease actually coming to an end. So if it's given in October to end at the end of February, but your lease actually ends at the end of March, well, then it's a different story. But if it coincides with the actual termination date of the lease, then the landlord actually hasn't done anything wrong. There's no right to or obligation for him to renew that lease. I hope I'm not missing the point, Pippa.
With no reason why he's giving us notice.
No reason is necessary because the lease is coming to an end, unfortunately.
So if the lease was until the end of March, you're within your rights to say, thank you very much for living here and please
Absolutely.
Move out by the end of March.
It's your property.
Okay. Edwin, I'm sorry. It sounds like it caught you very much by surprise. 0214460567 is the number to dial if you'd like to do what Edwin did and ask a question. I believe we have got voice notes working again, so maybe we can squeeze one last question in before we're out of time, Obi.
Hi there, this is Peter from Goodwood. I have a question. It is not exactly about what you are discussing at the moment, but it's got to do with the tenant. So if you could please find the time to answer this, I would appreciate it. I've got tenants in my granny flat at the back. I need that space for my business, and I gave them 3 months notice last year in July already. They have not moved out yet, and it doesn't look like they are making any plans, and every time I confront them about this, their excuse is, oh, but they can't find another place. If I've given them notice, the notice period has expired, is there anything legally that I can do to get them out as quickly as possible, because I need that flat for my business now?
Unfortunately, again, it's walking straight into the requirements of the PIE Act. And the bottom line is that just because you gave them an extended period of time and just because they've chosen not to move doesn't entitle you to do anything but to follow the eviction process. Obviously, laterally thinking, there's nothing that precludes you from entering into an agreement with them that if they choose to leave and relocate, you will be able to assist them financially with some contribution to move. Alternatively, if they don't leave, then your only other alternative is not only launch an eviction application, but also to consider the damages that you may suffer as a result of not being able to put your business there. That might be sort of a persuasive influence to say, we are unable to trade from this business, our business from this position. We gave you lawful notice. You haven't left. These are the damages we're suffering. And that could be a double prong attack, suing for damages suffered as well as an eviction application. And hopefully that will convince them to make a hasty retreat.
Thank you so much for your question, Peter. And Marlon, as always, thank you so much for the advice you share with our listeners. Good to have you back in studio again.
Thank
Marlon Chevalier, and remember, you can check out his website. They're Marlon Chevalier and Associates Incorporated if you want to give them a Google. Back with us probably in another month or two.